Welcome to Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Today we shall explore the company MyToolCar. Very recently they're in the news because they are revolutionizing the concept of transportation. As we all know, the realm of transport or mobility has always been the subject of conversation, particularly when it comes to a post-pandemic world. So joining us for today is the CEO of MyToolCar, Jeffrey Ong. Jeffrey, how are you?
Hi, good.
Right, let's talk about MyToolCar first. Describe to us what MyToolCar is all about.
Okay, so MyToolCar is an online used car platform that focusing on five core pillars. So we got the retail business where we deal with end consumers, where end consumers can buy car completely digitally from our platform. Then we got the wholesale business where we sell cars directly to the used car dealers here in Malaysia. Financial services where we finance cars for our dealers, and later on, of course, moving forward, we'll be exploring more into the end consumer side. We got the after sales business where we focus on repairs, body and paint for our cars, and also servicing for our customers. And predominantly, we have what we are doing is we have a very strong online and offline platform infrastructure to ensure that we are delivering cars to customer wherever they are.
Right. How is MyToolCar different from all the other competition out there, including Carsem, Carlist, Auto.my, and all the other stuff that there is in the market?
MyToolCar is actually a marketplace, right? So customers...
Carsem, Carlist, Auto, and so on.
Carlist is a classified platform, so naturally, no doubt we are in the same industry, but the business model is completely different. What I would say is the closest competitor that we have here is Carsem, but no doubt we are in the same industry, but how the way we run business and the whole overall business concept is predominantly very different.
How are you guys different?
Okay, in terms of the buying experience, when it comes to retail, what we're trying to do here is we provide an end-to-end digital journey for customers that are purchasing cars from our platform, right? That is one thing. And in terms of the wholesale business side, used car dealers that procure with us, we will be providing financial services. We are providing tools for used car dealers to make a more informed decision when they are buying used cars from our platform for them to grow their business. And also, we have invested a lot into building up a very strong offline infrastructure to ensure that whatever cars that are purchased from our platform, we will get there to your doorstep more efficiently and also in a very cost-effective manner.
All right, so you're talking about improving efficiency operationally. This would require a lot of care in terms of trying to make sure that your partners are all in tune with what your objectives are, from dealers, from your own employees, including the turnaround time from the moment a customer reaches out to you. How do you ensure that all these stakeholders that you guys have can be consistent with what your operational wants or targets are? Because in order for you guys to be efficient, you guys have to have good partners, right?
No, not necessary. So in order for us to be efficient, what we will need to do is to build a very strong in-house capability, right? Not necessary working with partners to actually ensure that to happen. Because if we are building things on an in-house scale, what we can ensure is we can control the quality itself of what we are trying to deliver to our customers.
How about your relationship with your car dealers?
The relationship with the car dealers is good because what we have done here is us as a partner for the used car dealer, we have helped them to digitalize their car procurement side of business. And also what we are doing for the used car dealers is we can connect nationwide sellers to them, right? So what a used car dealer naturally does is last time, in order for them to supply cars for them to retail, they only can source for all these inventories in their local network. What happened is with us, they open up to nationwide sellers, means there is no limitation in terms of geography, and they will be tapping into more variety and variants of cars all over Malaysia.
Is there an exclusive exclusivity deal that they can only deal with you guys and not all the other competitors? So it's actually a free market, they can actually reach out to all the other players out there, including yourself?
Yes, it's a free market. So what? How we can stand out more competitive, it's on the service that we provide, the quality that we provide, right? How fast we can actually deliver the car right to your showroom after you purchase cars from our bidding platform.
Right, let's talk a little bit more about your fundraising process. We know, or we've read that very recently, Caro, the parent, has raised about $300 million in fresh funds. There's going to be some assumption that there's going to be more fundraising in the process. How much of this is actually funneled down to MyTuka?
I'm actually not in a position to talk about this. But what we can say is Malaysia plays a significant role in the Caro Group. And a lot of funding actually will be channeled to Malaysia as long as we met the growth objective that we are going to pursue on.
So what what kind of growth objectives are we talking about? Like, what can you share?
Okay, we will be continuously to be investing in the infrastructure, right? Online platform infrastructure, offline infrastructure, creating more centers for customers to get hold of our services and also for dealers. So this is one part of our expansion plans.
All right, let's also talk about the expansion plan then. What objectives have you reached and what kind of growth are you looking at in Malaysia, particularly when it comes to growing your businesses here? How can a person looking at MyTuka understand that the business is growing?
Okay. So part of our expansion plan is we approach it in a few steps, right? So one is to ensure that our platform capabilities are there. What it means is by providing a better pricing for customer, we will build in-house AI capabilities and pricing algorithm. That is one of it. And then in terms of expansion, what we're going to do is we will be expanding in major cities in Malaysia, tier two cities in Malaysia, so that the customer can have a direct access to our business, to our services, products and services, not just online, but offline as well, right?
Okay, but I'm talking about the growth of the business, like, you know, something tangible, like how many cars do you plan to sell, areas that you're going to enter, are you going to open a brick and mortar kind of establishment? I mean, objectives.
Okay, so the objective here is like this. So we are running an online retail and wholesale platform. So ultimately, online means that you can buy cars from anywhere and everywhere. So we will need physical presence in most cities. So then we can add, the physical stores can be positioned as a delivery centers for customers that purchase car from us, or an experience center where they can actually come to us and browse for cars online, right? So we will have people there to guide them how to utilize the platform and how they can actually buy cars online, right? We've got people there positioned for that particular purpose. In terms of volume, again, I will not jump into numbers, but looking at our business forecast, definitely we are looking at another 300%, 500 to 500% growth again this year itself.
Okay, we'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll talk more with MyTuka. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Jeffrey Ong, the CEO of MyTuka. Jeffrey, let's talk a little bit more about the landscape. Because of the pandemic, mobility has been hard hit over the past 17 months. Is the automotive industry affected as well by this constant or consistent lockdown that we've been experiencing over the past 17 months?
Yes, I would say that in the automotive perspective, the new car side of business are more impacted than the used car side. Okay, partly is because there is shortages in the chip shortages where it impacted in the production of new cars. But in terms of used car, we have seen an uptick in the demand for used car because of the new car issue. From the look of it, we are seeing that the used car market is definitely a driving factor in the automotive industry moving forward during the period of this pandemic.
Is this the first time when used cars are driving the sales instead of new cars?
In this market, yes, definitely. But in the mature market, it works a bit differently. So I can share with you, right? In the mature market, what we can see is every one new car sold, two used car will be sold, right? But in Malaysia, it's the other way around. People tend to go into new car more. This is due to multiple factors. But we are looking at there is a changing of trends in this particular market as well.
Okay, but let's talk about, 20 years, 10 years ahead, when automotive vehicles are flooding the market, when vehicle-to-vehicle conversation is happening with 5G, vehicle-to-everything is happening, V2X is happening, the landscape is going to change. Cars that are retrofitted with 21st century technology might not necessarily be useful anymore. How do we ensure that the vehicular industry in Malaysia continues to be updated and continues to be relevant for the upcoming change that is very near already?
Okay, I think this one we have to take it a step at a time. In terms of car ownership, statistically, vehicle ownership will always still be here, right? I think what will happen is in terms of 5G and autonomous driving and all that, it will definitely impact the car sharing side of industry. But in terms of individual mobility, the nature of human itself, they still will prefer to have their own mode of transportation, right? So I would say that autonomous will be a value add. What I would say is changing of a drivetrain of a vehicle will be more significant than autonomous driving.
So you think that this industry will be as it is, say, 10 years from now?
10 years from now, yes, definitely will be the same.
Okay.
You will see different is more on the drivetrain. Means people are moving towards more into hybrid and electric vehicles.
Okay. But would things change even more because of the pandemic? I mean, we don't enter our offices anymore. You know that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that people will drive less?
People will drive less, but mobility will still need to happen. Mobility will still need to happen. And due to this pandemic, what we can see is there is a trend where people are moving away from the sharing economy, right? Due to safety reasons, from all these experiences that they have during this pandemic.
Mm. That's correct. So what do you make of this? People still need mobility. The ride-sharing economy is, people are not so much the riding or the ride-hailing aspect, but the delivery is really booming. And then, of course, we're talking about car ownership. It doesn't make sense for somebody to buy a car and not use it for 17 months. The idea here is perhaps to borrow a car for 2 days in a week, 3 days in a week. These are the kind of trends that I'm seeing. So how does this, add up with the kind of business models that you guys have right now?
I would say is if you drill down deeper, human mobility will still be the key, right? I think working from home, as you can see, Some people might see the benefit of it in the short term, but if you go into the medium and long term, humans still require social interaction. So that's why mobility will never be going away. So if you're talking about working from home and all that, yes, no doubt during this period, it's needed, it's crucial due to this pandemic for self safety reasons. But as human is, social interactions still play a big role, and mobility will be a part of this social framework to it.
Okay, does this mean that once we have resolved the pandemic, when, you know, I mean, the end is very near, 60% of Malaysians have received first dose, we're looking at end October where everybody, all the adults have received complete dosages, the government is moving towards 12 to 8, 17 years old getting vaccinated. People are saying that 2022 might still be there in terms of the pandemic, but towards the end of 2022, things are going back to normal. So, you know, do you think that people are going back to normal per se, as in going back to the office, yes, owning cars, driving around, back to normal?
Yes, we are very confident that things will go back to normal.
All right. So the trends that we spoke of, including the digital trends, do you think that that's going to impact your business, or it's still going to be okay for you guys?
It will definitely be okay. So what happened is, what we are trying to do is we are providing convenience for people to buy and sell cars, right? You see, what digital here are not to address the pandemic issue. Digital here are to bring efficiency when it comes to buying or transacting online. So what pandemic actually helps is pandemic helps people to get used to digital purchases. So once the pandemic is over, people will still stick with digital purchases because it's a more efficient way to do things.
Okay. My final question to you is this. Your business is those kind that is heavily reliant on being on digital, being on the web, being on the app, being on everybody's phones. But at the same time, you require to be physical because that's how it works. I mean, I can't ship my car, you know, through my computer. I literally have to bring my car around. How do you fancy your business model moving forward, this whole digital plus brick and mortar? Do you feel that there comes a time when you might need to reduce your brick and mortar presence and focus fully on digital in some shape and form?
Okay. Definitely. Okay. Just put it this way. Like, for example, if you buy something online, definitely you will need that item to be delivered to you. So physical presence will still need to be there. Physical infrastructure will still need to be there, right? No matter how digital are we. Logistical is part of the biggest topic in terms of digital businesses. So what we are looking at is to build up that infrastructure, right? So buying online is one thing. So the experiencing, everything will be done online. But when it comes to delivering that experience to you, that physical asset, it requires an offline infrastructure. So instead of having a huge front retail facing type of experiences, what we will be looking into is more of a very strong logistical back end infrastructure to deliver that quality experience to the customer. It's the same like buying a shirt online.
Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, but people don't see that brick and mortar aspect, that physical aspect. People just look at the experience online, and that's about it, and then they arrive in front of the door. That's how consumers work.
Yeah.
Okay, final question is this. Do you feel that there comes a time when Maituka needs to go a bit more aggressive in terms of challenging your competitors? We spoke of some of your competitors earlier. They are raising hundreds and millions of dollars, and it seems like they're going big on regional. Karo, of course, is regional, but you guys aren't. Do you feel that there has to be some business alignment between Karo and you, and how you bring yourself both entrenching it domestically in Malaysia, as well as trying to go regional as well?
Yep. So, no doubt, Karo is our investor, right? And My Tukar do play a very significant role in terms of the regional strategy and business, right? No doubt what we're going to do is we're going to continue to expand and grow our business here in Malaysia, but our team locally here, we have been working very closely with Caro's team in other markets, and we have been contributing significantly as a group, as a team, to grow the different region as well. Right. So in terms of business alignment, I would say we are 100% aligned. Right. We are in constant communication, and we are in multiple working groups together, and we even build tech and platform capabilities together as well.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was Jeffrey Ong, the CEO of MyTukar. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to Astro Awani, look for Notepad, or look for MyTukar there. You can also watch these kind of interviews on your mobile phones. Just download the Astro Awani application, wherever you get the app. Until then, thanks very much for watching, and goodbye.